One of my New Year's resolution was to read the entire Bible, and I started on December actually already instead of in January, and now I'm in Exodus. And if you already read the Bible, or at least the book of Exodus, you reach that point where it's not boring, but it's a point where you don't know what to do, if you should skip the verses or the chapters, or if you should actually read it, because it's a time when Moses go to talk to God, and he gave him the blueprint of the tabernacle. And it's an extensive, very extensive reading about how the tabernacle is built and how they should do and act inside a tabernacle, what they should wear. And when I said extensive, it's very extensive. There's not one single detail, from the curtains, from the size of the holes of the curtains and the size of the tents and the materials that you should make, every single thing. So God doesn't leave anything for Moses to choose. God gave them a instruction about every single thing during the building of the tabernacle. So nothing was for Moses or the Israel people to guess. Everything was instructed by God, every single detail. And I was talking to God after I started reading the first of the chapters. And I was like, Lord, I know that everything that is in the Bible is there for a reason, but I'm reading this and I have no idea. Unless you work in construction, you will not understand. Like, you know what it's about, but I cannot, like, know what the purpose of this. And everything in the Bible has a purpose. Every single word that is there, there's a purpose. So I was like, I know that there's a purpose. I just cannot see it. I literally, Lord, cannot see the purpose of this. So please, Lord, enlighten me. And today I opened the Bible and there's a few more chapters to read about the instructions of the tabernacle. And I was like, okay, here we go. I'm going to pray and we're going to see what this is about. And just, like, you know, passing through the pages and reading a little bit more, I had an insight, and I know that was the Holy Spirit, because I pray before reading, and I know that I could never come up with this by myself. And a question popped in my head, like, have you noticed how much detail it's in those blueprints and that instructions? And I was like, yeah, I noticed there's a lot of details. That's the thing that really caught my attention. Like, it's very detailed and very long. And God told me it's there for a reason. Did you notice even the color, the shape, the materials? Everything is gold, bronze, or silver. Every single thing has a perfect instruction and a detail, and all of that has a purpose. So did you notice how specific I was about all of that? And I was like, yeah, I noticed. That's a lot of effort put into details. And I was like, wait, that was a tabernacle and a temple. How much effort God would put into his living temple, which is us today, now after Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. God doesn't need a tabernacle, like a physical tabernacle, like a building, to appear to us. Now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And I was like, wait, that's making a lot of sense right now. And God was saying, how much detail do you think I'm going to put in my living tabernacle? How much effort do you think I'm going to put in my living temple? If with a construction for my presence to dwell in, a construction made of silver and gold and bronze, I put so much effort and so much detail to put that together and be so specific about it, how much do you think I'm going to be with your life? You're a living creature. You're my image. You are my living temple. How much effort do you think I'm going to put into your life? If I put that much effort to build a non-living thing, which was a building, of course, it was a very sacred living, non-living thing. It was a very sacred building because God's presence was there. But like, how much more effort am I going to put into my child and my child's life? Like how, like that, what the reason God put that, one of the reasons that was revealed to me that God put that in the Bible is to show how he works. And maybe reading the chapters, you're not going to be able to get a little quote and have a revelation out of that, but just by reading the chapters and seeing how much effort God put into that, we can see how he works. This is a blueprint, not only a blueprint for a building that was built, but a blueprint of how God works. Like, how much effort do you think God put when he was creating us? Because this is literally God showing us how he works and how was the process to build us. Like, we are such a complex, like, beings. Every single thing related to our breathing, our sight, everything, like, our body is the most complex machine you can ever find. It's beautiful and it's perfect. And me looking at these pages and see how much thought God put into this, I was like, how dare I? Like, how can I even begin to question how I look and how I sound or how I function? Like, God spent so much of his efforts and thoughts into detail to build me. And sometimes we take our lives and us being humans so lightly. Like, it was like, whatever. And God was enlightening me about something, because I'm going through a lot right now. I'm going through like a season where God is shaping me and there's so much happening. And sometimes we tend to think that our lives is just a coincidence. Like, everything in our lives is just like, yeah, whatever. It's life. It would happen. And we take it so lightly, but God have a whole blueprint of how our life is supposed to go. And most of the times, we tend to take that, throw it away, and do it in our own way. And I was like, the reason why our lives sometimes it's so shitty, I'm sorry, like, pardon me for the word, but sometimes our life is so shitty, it's so horrible, it's so mediocre, because we choose it. Because I'm seeing here, God was using the best of the best materials to build the temple. Everything was gold, silver, and bronze. It was precious jewels, the finest of the finest materials he used to fabricate the curtains. The fabric of the curtain was the most pure, thick, beautiful linen. And I was like, if God uses the best of the best to build this temple, that's what he wants for us. He wants us to have the best of the best. And I'm not talking about material stuff. I'm talking about the best life. He wants us to have the best career for us, the best job, the best family. He wants us to have the best husband, the best wife. And I'm not talking about perfect, because nothing is perfect. But the best for you. He wants us to have the best that you can ever get. He wants to have the best life you could ever get. And he has that perfect blueprint of every single thing. And we are there complaining about how horrible our life looks or how, you know, mediocre our life is. But it's our fault. It's our fault. We keep complaining and pointing to Adam and Eve and how sometimes dumb they were to do all that. And you, and sometimes I see people like, if I was me, I would never do that. But we keep doing the same thing. You know what was the sin of Adam and Eve? Pride. God had, he had the definition of good and evil. He knew, he had the perfect definition of good and evil. And what Adam and Eve should do was to trust in his definition of good and evil, what it was best for them, and just obey him. But then the sin that they commit was to try to see for themselves and judge by themselves the definition of good and evil, what it was best for them. That was their sin. They wanted to do that for themselves. And the payment for that is death. Because we all die eventually. So we keep talking about Adam and Eve, but we are doing the same every single day. Every single time that you try to decide for yourself what's the best for you, you're doing the same thing. You're just, we act the same way every single day. So I had the revelation of like, I used to judge Eve, and we are here as humans doing that same thing every single day. God has a perfect plan for us, and we have the free will. We have the free will. Adam and Eve had the free will too, to decide if they wanted to accept the definition of good and bad, of what it was good and bad for them, or they would do for themselves. So if we choose the same path as them, to keep judging and defining for themselves, defining by ourselves what is good and bad for us, we're going to have the same path that leads to destruction. So God is, through the entire Bible, is trying to show us that if we want to have the best life we could ever have, if you want a taste of God's promises, we should just do one thing. Trust him. Trust him. The reason why every single character in the Bible have had their lives going to the wrong path was when they decided they would define what was good for them back then. So every time they would make a decision without consulting God, and if we consult God and he says no and we decide to do the yes, we're saying, hey, you don't know what is best for me. You don't know what's or good and bad for me. I do. I know that for myself. That's what you're saying. So I was like, Lord, every single day, I'm going to trust your definition of good and evil. I'm going to trust your definition of what is good and bad for me, because I know nothing. Because sometimes we're about to make a decision, or we choose a certain partner, we choose a certain job, we choose certain things for our lives, and we don't consult God. And even if we don't consult them, he tries to warn us, and we do it in the same, like, anyways. And then we end with a mediocre life, with a horrible partner, with a job that we don't like, with a life that we're bitter about it, and we complain to God, but you chose that life. And sometimes, most of the times, the reason why we're heartbroken and we're disappointed is because of our own decisions. Because if we stopped to ask God, okay, God, what is the plan that you have for my life? In the beginning, you might look at it and be like, I don't know, but God saw the future. Sometimes that thing that you think it's right for you, God already knows that in the end, that's not going to be good. That's going to lead you to destruction, because he knows the future. He knows what is going to happen if you take that path. You don't. So why would I trust on my own understanding when my God, he knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows what is best for me. And I think the reason why sometimes we don't trust God, or we trust ourselves more, is because we tend to expect disappointment from God. Sometimes I think, for example, I'm in a waiting season for like eventually have a husband in the Lord's timing. But I catch myself in the past thinking, you know what? I'm going to choose my husband because I want to make sure that he's going to have all these qualities. And maybe the husband that God's going to send me, it's not going to have, like, those that I really want. I was expecting disappointment from God. For some reason, we tend to expect that God is going to have poor decisions. And I'm like, why? That's not even possible. Like, God, it's not human. Because, like, every single man that I chose so far brought me disappointment. So why in the heavens I still think that I can make a good choice? Like, we expect God to act like us for some reason. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. So first of all, we have to stop expecting disappointment from God. Because yes, sometimes what is best for us, we're not seeing that way. But if you trust God, you're going to see how amazing that is. Because most of the times, what is the best for us is uncomfortable at first. Or it is not what we imagine or we expected. So long story short, like, there's so much more that I can go deep into this. Like, this, watching, like, and reading this part, which can look like a boring part of the Bible or a part that there's no purpose for it, God didn't let me so much. And it brought me a whole new perspective of how I see my life and how I should not take my life lightly. Like, our lives have such a purpose. And the reason why we don't step into that purpose is because we keep making the same mistake that was made in the beginning of times. We keep trying to choose and try to decide for ourselves what is good and bad for us. Because, yes, we have the free will to do whatever we want. But if we just stop for a second to ask God what his plans are and trust him with that, like, I think we'll be so surprised. Like, how a God who, to make a building, he chose the best of the best to build a place for him to dwell. Like, look at us. Like, look at God's pattern. He never chooses the worst. He always choosing the best of the best. Like, he's the owner of the gold and the precious jewels. Like, he's the one who owns it. He's the creator of the universe. God is not cheap. God is not cheap. He's not cheap with your dreams. He's not cheap with your life. He's not cheap to bless you. The reason why we don't receive the blessings we're supposed to receive is because we disobey. We don't trust him. We don't obey him. Because if we trust and if we obey what he says, trust me, you're going to experience the best of the best. And that sometimes doesn't mean that you're going to be a billionaire. But I'm trying to say that you're going to experience the best that God can offer you. The best of the best he has planned for you. But first, he's going to have to take your heart out of the things that you used to. And sometimes the best of the best, it's not going to look like the best of the best or sound like. Because if we're used to eating garbage, the time that we come to a banquet, we're still going to miss the garbage. God has to clean your palate. The same way that God had to put Israel for 40 years into the wilderness to remove Egypt from their hearts before they step into the promised land, before God give you the blueprint and give you everything that he wants for you, he's going to have to do a cleansing in you. And that cleansing is going to hurt sometimes. He's going to have to cleanse you first so you're able to appreciate and value all the blessings that he has for you.